2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 4 to 11. Jehoshaphat, the reformer. Now we've seen the reformations that Jehoshaphat is engaged in. We've seen something of that before. But God, in his word, has recorded again for us this ministry, this work, this commitment of this godly king. We know he's made terrible mistakes. We've seen that in previous passages, previous discourses. But now let's look at Jehoshaphat, the reformer. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 4 to 11. I note the word again in verse 4. Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, and turned them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. So this is a second reformation. This is a continual reformation. This man is again reforming the people, turning them back to the Lord. Verse 4. Turning them back to the God of their fathers. He's taking them back to the covenant. He's taking them back to the law of Moses, the law of God through Moses for Israel on Sinai. We notice that in verse 5, he appointed judges in the land. And he told them in verse 6 what they should do. He instructed. He didn't just sort of go along with some kind of vague resolution. He took definite steps. He took action. And he got his sleeves rolled up. And he got involved in it. And he made sure it was done. Above all, look at the emphasis in these passages, in these verses, in this passage, 2 Chronicles 19, right through from 4 to 11. Notice the emphasis upon the Lord. I see it in verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, and verse 11 again. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Remember the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. This man is a godly man. And he, in the days of the old covenant, working in the nation of Judah, is turning them back to the Lord, to the covenant of God. Again, the word appointed comes in verse 8. He appointed Levites, or some of the Levites, priests and heads of Israelite families to administer the law of the Lord, is the law of the Lord, to settle disputes. And he gave them orders, verse 9. He gave them instructions and told them to keep their eye upon God, upon the Lord, in all things. In every case, you are to warn them not to sin against the Lord, verse 10. The wrath of God otherwise will come upon you. And this man talks about sin, sin, sin. He speaks of it in verses 10 and 10. The law of God, you must do this, you must not do that, you must warn them in this. It goes on and on, verses 8, 9, 10, 10, and 10 again. He encourages them to act with courage. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord be with you if you do well. And he's taking these steps, and he's encouraging, he's speaking, he's preaching, he's teaching. And he's got his eye to God in all of it. What can we learn from this? What's going on here? Here he is setting up these proper systems. And he's encouraging the people, and he's making sure it's done. As I say, it's back to the covenant. Now, what can we say about this? Well, let us remember again, as we always have to, we're securely in the days of the old covenant. Therefore, it is the religion of Judah in that old covenant. It's a national religion. It is a religion. You know, the temple is there, the priests, the Levites, the law, teaching, sacrifices, Sabbath, all these things are there, and he's setting it all up again. And it's a national thing. Now, we don't live in the days of the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant has been fulfilled and rendered obsolete by Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Hebrews 8, verse 13, and so on. We're living in the days of the New Covenant. What's the equivalent here? Well, it's not the nation. It's not the nation. It's the church. It's believers. How many believers go wrong here. They apply the old covenant in the days of the new. They try to reform the nation. It's happened in England, and it still happens in a sense because we've got a state church. But it happens in America too. The American right, the evangelical right, the Republican Party, they think that they're doing God's work in a political way. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual. They're not carnal, they're not political, they're not national anymore. In the UK, how many believers think Parliament will do it? And they worry about the state of the nation. I don't say forget the nation, but what we must worry about, brother and sister, is the state of the churches. They need reforming. Jesus cleansed the temple. Today, we need to cleanse the churches. Now, there's talk of revival. That's often escapism. Believers love to go to conferences about revival. They love to read about revival. They love to talk about revival. It's lovely, isn't it? It all puts it down to God. Let God do it. And we live in the past and we escape from the present. It's like watching a DVD or reading a novel. Let's get out of our life and get into some imaginary life, some sentimental, romantic, nostalgic time. Revival, of course, is a very wonderful thing, is a sovereign act of God. But Jehoshaphat will say to us, I didn't wait for revival. Oh yes, he might have prayed with the psalmist, revive us again, O Lord, will you not revive us again? Oh yes. But he set about reformation. He acted, he did, he appointed, he told them, he warned them. He said, get back to the law and keep back on the law. Get back to the covenant. This is where we belong. My brothers and sisters, we need men and women today who will stand for Christ, for the gospel, for the principles of the new covenant, for the ecclesia, and preach Christ, not as it were to reform the nation, but to see sinners saved, converted, and to see the saints edified and God glorified in it. You see, the buck stops with us, my friend. It stops with me. It stops with you. Can we not learn from Jehoshaphat here? Jehoshaphat the reformer. Yes, he made his mistakes. But he didn't make the mistake of doing nothing. He did what he could to bring the people back to where they ought to be and where they should never have departed from. And I say we need such men and women today in the churches of Jesus Christ. Oh, may God raise up men who will lead us in the ways of reformation. Oh, God, we need revival. Will you not revive us again? But, oh, God, give us grace not simply to wait and sit back looking just for revival. May we be given the grace to reform, to turn ourselves back, or, by your Spirit, turn us back to the ways of the gospel. Revive, yes, and reform your churches and glorify your name in this great work. May we learn from Jehoshaphat. And may we apply the principles we have seen by your grace, for Christ's sake. Amen.